Hello and welcome to the Spotlight Podcast. Today we're joined by Christy Sokolo, Agency Director of Queue Management and Quirky Kids. Hi, Christy.
Hello.
And today we're going to be talking about everything to do with young performers. So everything you've always wanted to know about how to get an agent or what to do as a young performer if you're interested in getting started in the drama industry, if you want to be on the stage, you see yourself on screen. That's what we're going to cover today. Yeah. So we'll go straight in and we'll ask you a bit about your role at Quirky Kids and what you do there.
Absolutely. So as the agency director, I oversee a team of agents who work full time in trying to secure opportunities for children and young performers. The majority of the day is sort of intertwined with many a submission, many a phone call, lots of liaising with industry professionals as well, be it casting directors, directors, production companies, etc. So my job is to basically oversee that and help sort of negotiate contracts and just make sure that our clients are well looked after.
And what's an average day for you in the office then?
Okay, so we do spend the majority of the morning slash early afternoon making submissions because we are contacted numerous times a day by various industry professionals who are putting on sort of many projects. So we spend a lot of time looking through our client list and submitting who would be appropriate for what role. We then spend the majority of the afternoon taking the appointment. So once casting directors have taken a look at all of the submissions, they will come back to us and let us know who they would like to meet. From there, we contact the parents with all of the details in terms of where they need to go, what they need to prepare, who they're meeting, etc. Along with that, we also have to touch on various bits of administration as well. So ensuring that all of our client CVs are up to date, ensuring that all child and performance licenses are applied for. So we are doing various liaising with councils and things like that. Checking availability. So there's lots of administration involved, the back end of it, not just submissions.
Mm-hmm. So how often would you say you get in touch with the parents?
Every day. Yeah. We do get in touch with parents every single day. However, we don't get in touch with all of the parents every single day. So because of how quick and how fast paced the industry works, we do only get time in a working day to contact parents if their child has been contacted for an audition or for a job, etc. However, we are all in the office full time. So if a parent happens to call us, we will pick up the phone.
Yeah. So would you say it's much more about just waiting to see, because you guys are obviously on the submissions anyway, but rather than parents sort of kind of getting in touch with you on the regular, on Twitter, for example, saying, I hope my daughter or son is seen for this. Just let them, you know, let you guys get in touch as and when.
Absolutely. I mean, we use social media as a massive form of communication to our parents because although it might be quiet for their child in particular, at least they can still see we are an active agency and we are working incredibly hard for our clients. So it is important. However, there are occasions where parents call and just say, you know, I'm wondering what's been coming up lately or anything like that. So we are happy to, but obviously when the phones are ringing and we've got a casting director on the other line, that call does have to take priority because it could be their child that has the audition. So it's kind of just weighing it up a little bit really and trying to even it out to make sure that we keep everybody happy.
Yeah, and trust that you guys know which child fits which role.
Absolutely, yeah.
A young performer interested in joining Quirky Kids, what do they need to do? Is amateur theatre any good? Or?
Yeah, of course. So, I mean, we always encourage any sort of local performances. We encourage to attend as many classes as possible within that skill area that they wish to develop in. I mean, the Quirky Kids is attached to a performing arts academy called PQA. There's 160 academies across the UK in 105 locations. So for our Quirky Kids in particular, they have to attend PQA for us in order to represent them. And also because of the way that their training is sort of scheduled, it's sort of it covers all areas, musical theatre, film and TV, comedy and drama. So for us, we get that immediate access to those classes. So we get to know our clients a lot more than being sort of a sole agency outside of the performing arts. So if they wanted to join, I say, Quirky Kids, then they would have to look up their local PQA. However, taking that aside, just as an agent, if you wanted to be sort of represented by an agent that isn't attached to a performing arts academy, definitely definitely still attend local classes.
Yeah.
Definitely just try to get your confidence up, because with regards to local performances, it's not just honing in your skill set, it's also learning the way that it works. So being able to take direction, being on time, actually sort of learning the way that it works in terms of working with people.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so I think there's lots of different ways that you can hone in certain skills and actually become a young professional as well.
So would you say understanding the industry and sort of learning your craft is imperative before just leaping straight in and trying to find an agent?
Absolutely, yeah. It's showing the sort of commitment that you have already. So when you do apply to become an agent, it's great to say, well, even if you want to invite an agent to come and watch you in one of your performances, you know, it gives them a little bit more to grasp than just an email or a picture.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely, I think that's something. And it just helps with confidence and all sorts of things, really. So I encourage that very much.
In terms of PQA then, so is that all extracurricular or is that a full-time thing?
It's a part-time Saturday school. There will be a full-time academy launching in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
That would be for the young performers, so 16 plus. However, yes, the main academies, the ones that sort of rotate the modules,
mm-hmm.
They run on either Saturday mornings or afternoons,
yep.
And there is an occasional Sunday academy as well.
Okay.
As I said earlier, it's 105 locations, so
yeah.
I'm sure if you go to the PQA website, it would be able to tell you where your nearest class is.
Yeah, and is it grouped by sort of age, as it were?
Yeah, so they are three different age groups, or I should say four if you're counting the younger ones.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got Poppets, which is sort of 4 to 6. They are adorable. That's an hour and a half. Then you have a green group, which is basically 6 to 9 year olds. Blue group, 10 to 12, and then a 13 plus.
Mm-hmm.
And that 13 plus goes right the way up to 16.
Yep.
And they work on a rotation for 3 hours on various modules.
Mm-hmm.
We do get in, because we are the agency that is that runs alongside PQA, we do get an awful lot of feedback from casting directors to say how comfortable they were in front of the camera and everything like that, because they obviously train in film and TV, not just stage.
Yeah.
So that's great for us, obviously, because it stops any sort of camera shy already,
yeah.
Even at the audition stage.
So what can parents do to help their young performers get into the industry?
Well, I would definitely say to be positive, to encourage, and to ensure that the children are really, really into it. There's no point in putting them in classes if it's not their passion or they're not that interested.
Mm-hmm.
So I would definitely say support and encourage in that direction. There are various platforms that parents can use to obtain casting information. So there are things like Spotlight, for example, which is great. It's very informative. There's also like lots of different workshops with casting directors,
mm-hmm.
and stuff like that, who are happy to give advice. There are many sort of subscriptions that you could sort of apply to. I know there's Mandy, which is Mandy Kids,
mm-hmm.
And they you can sign up to them, and they post all sorts of different character breakdowns which parents can submit themselves, and you can also purchase The Stage. That is full of industry news. They also post open auditions. And one that I find quite beneficial, and if I was a parent, I would definitely do, is to just go onto social media and follow all of the casting directors, because
mm-hmm.
they often tweet various open casting
yeah.
calls. And that's
yeah.
right away, right across the UK.
Mm-hmm.
And they're always looking for undiscovered talent. You don't
yeah.
necessarily always have to be an A-star, you know, triple threat student
yeah.
that has paid
yeah.
lots of money to train. You don't always have to do that. So it is sort of important just to keep all eyes and ears open.
Yeah.
But what I would say is that it's a job of an agent to, they have all of the relevant connections. So
mm-hmm.
it's their job to ensure that the right steps are being made in the
mm-hmm.
right way.
Mm-hmm.
So I would advise, try and track down an agency that is suited to you, whether that's a personal management agency, whether it's an agency that's attached to a performing arts academy. I would definitely say, because they know what they're doing and they're able to advise. You know, we often get parents calls saying, I'm new to this. And of course they are, because
mm-hmm.
their children are still children
mm-hmm.
and they've just decided they want to get into the performing arts. So we often get parents call, and it's just, you know, 5-10 minutes kids talking through the way that it works, and then they go, ah, right, okay, I get it now. Mm-hmm. They're in good hands, and leave us to do it.
Yeah.
So I would certainly say get an agent, keep eyes and ears open, whether that's social media or various platforms for auditions, just to get that experience under their belt.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest is just to make sure the kids enjoy it. That's the main thing. They shouldn't feel pressured or, feeling disheartened if they don't get anything. So it's just a matter of being a parent and encouraging them no matter what, really.
And talking about the way it works then, so from the moment a child joins your agency, what happens next in terms of them joining Spotlight and everything else?
Absolutely. So we enrol our students over a 7-month period. We travel the UK meeting them. We have one-to-one auditions with them. Mm-hmm. So we can capture, they get sides beforehand to practice. So we actually sit them in sort of a film and television casting environment where we work on a script, we direct them, we make relevant notes ready for their CV. So that could be accent, any languages they speak, any skills other than acting and performing. The hair colour, eye colour, etc. So we create their CVs when we actually meet them.
Mm-hmm.
We then go back to the office. We combine the CV with the headshots that they've had taken as well. We put them up onto our website. Once they're onto our website and our database, we are able to start submitting them straight away for castings. So we from anything, from commercials, film, television, theatre, providing that they're right for that particular role, and they're ready, then we will put them forward for it.
Mm-hmm.
Spotlight, we highly recommend it for just more exposure. Mm-hmm. You know, every professional actor, all of our queue management clients, for example, they have to be on Spotlight. It's just the sort of casting mm-hmm. platform, really, to be seen. So we do highly encourage it, but we make it optional for our parents,
mm-hmm.
purely because of costs and fees and things.
Yeah.
So, and there's still no guarantees. So we are pro Spotlight, but there's, you know, we still can obtain an awful lot of auditions if they're not.
Yeah.
So
on the subject of sort of pitches and professional headshots, so for children, it's very much the case of, same as with actors, you probably need maybe 2 or 3 kind of head and shoulder shot, headshot professionally done, not by mum in the back garden.
Yes, absolutely. Yep. No selfies for this one, as lovely as that would be. We actually work alongside London's headshot photographer, John Clark.
Mm-hmm.
He's fantastic. He's got various experience with children and young performers. So his team travel the UK with us and give me basically a selection of 5 really high quality shots.
Yeah.
So we ask, it doesn't have to be anything fancy at all. It's basically a headshot. So the actor needs to look like that person.
Yeah.
So it's nothing too glam. It's just a standard headshot that shows them at their cast type, really. So if they're young and they're quite excitable naturally, we're probably going to choose quite an excitable shot. However, if they're very sort of period looking and have like great structure and stuff like that, we might actually go for that one because we think that might actually help them a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, there are some teenagers that are great at the moody teenager, you know, so we might take a more sort of serious shot from them and maybe put them for more serious roles, more sort of emotionally demanding roles as well. So there are various different options that we can choose. With regards to parents submitting, we do have to oversee that because we just need that shot to look like the actor. We don't need modelling portfolios or anything like that, just because we don't need anything with makeup on, nothing too modelly, because we aren't a modelling agency. And if you want to go in for acting work, it just needs to be really natural, like a blank canvas.
Yes. There's an important distinction there between the two, isn't there?
Yes.
And how often should children, young performers get their headshot updated then? Because you're growing so much as well as a child.
Yeah, of course. So I would advise between every 6 months to a year. And you're right, they do change.
Mm-hmm.
So we say once a year minimum.
Yeah.
And it's because, you know, the younger children start losing their baby teeth, which is very, very sweet, but it's no good if we're putting them forward for you know, toothpaste commercials and they've got no teeth. And so little things like that we need to be aware of. Again, the teenagers, when they're developing, you know, sometimes they get braces fitted, sometimes the braces come off. Our teenagers change their hair colour like every month.
Yeah.
So it's important that your agent is aware of that, because if we've got a headshot and you don't look like that headshot, and we're sending you in to casting directors who have chosen to meet you from that headshot, yeah. it's really important that we at least make a note to say, just as an FYI, her hair is now bobbed, or he's now shaved his head, you know, just so then they know. But we always say that if there is anything drastic, then it is worth changing straight away.
Yeah. And in terms of parents updating the sort of spotlight profile, as it were, I think a couple of things that you should probably let the agency do would be more around the playing age and the credits, because you'd be sort of better positioned to say what a child's playing age is.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we do try to encourage the for the spotlight CV just to keep all professional credits. And I know that, you know, being children, they're not going to have a list as long as their arm in professional credits at this stage. However, we can build on it. And the more professional sort of credits that they have, it's more impressive when maybe a casting director or a director looks onto their CV and they see, ah, okay, they've worked with this director, or they've worked on this production with this production company, as opposed to lots and lots of different amateur stuff, which means, I mean, it's incredible. I always say, you know, do as much amateur stuff as possible. But if we're trying to keep the CV polished and professional, my preference is to keep it professional. With regards to playing age, it's how long is a piece of string, you know. It's very, very difficult because we don't know what's going to come in. So they might say, for example, I want a 13-year-old girl. So we've got lots of 13-year-old girls, but there are some 13-year-old girls that look 16 and they wear a lot of makeup and they're developed. We also have 13-year-old girls that look 9. So it's just making sure that, they're not put in a bracket that isn't them. The ages is pretty flexible. It is down to sometimes height as well. So yeah, we like to oversee that.
Yeah,
definitely, and particularly when the kids grow so quickly as well, it's important to keep up to date.
Agent knows best.
We like to think so.
So for young performers, touching on the makeup subject, should they wear makeup to an audition?
Very minimal, if so. I say not at all. But, you know, I've also been a teenager and I know that how mortifying that can be. So if they do want to wear makeup for one reason or another, then absolutely. But just make sure that it's a very faint foundation that matches their skin tone already, if they want to get rid of any blemishes or anything like that. Eye makeup must be very subtle. No need for heavy eyeliner, eyeshadow or mascara. Just very, maybe a very slight mascara. No lipstick, maybe a bit of lip balm, for example. But, you know, they're going in for a character in a production which will have hair, makeup, costume. They deal with all that. So the casting director just wants to know if they can do the job. And therefore, you know, the more of a blank canvas they are, the more the team have got to work with. And, you know, they later on down the line, if they get closer to the part, they have various wardrobe meetings and everything like that, where they can sort of discuss that. But for young performers, it's very easy to get carried away with sort of fashion and makeup, and it becomes more of a like a hobby, so to speak. You know, everybody loves putting makeup on and things like that. So, but I would just say, for an audition, keep it very minimal.
They're really looking at your acting as it is anyway.
Absolutely, yeah.
And just keep it as natural as you can. And plain clothes as well, quite pretty.
Plain clothes. I mean, if it depends really on what the project is. You know, if you're going in for something that's quite gritty, then yes, wear something quite plain, but wear something quite, you know, modern, I suppose. More sort of darker colours, maybe like a denim jacket. But if you're going in for a period drama, then wear a buttoned up shirt or wear something smart, or a nice fresh crisp colour, because that's a part of the character trait and the period that they would be set in. So that's definitely advisable, but I would definitely say steer clear of any branding, no logos or anything heavy like that. And there's no need to get sort of over the top dressed into character unless specified.
Just a slight nod to it, perhaps.
A slight nod to it and a nodding acknowledgement to it.
Not sort of super casual tracksuit if it's a Victorian part.
Exactly. Do your research in terms of the character and the time of when that project was set. And that will help, you know, inspire you to what to wear. And if not, ask your agent.
So should young performers and child actors have showreels on their CV? It's going to be quite hard for them to have sort of a body of work to put on there. But would you say something's better than nothing, or quality is more important than having just something on there?
Yeah, I mean, motion footage is becoming more demanding at this moment of time. And I definitely think that having motion footage accessible on your Spotlight link or for your agent, that would be beneficial. In terms of a showreel, it does take a lot of time, particularly for a child and young performer, to capture so many different scenes and like professional jobs to put into one clip. And by the time that clip's finished and sort of put out there, it's out of date because the child's growing up very quickly. So I would definitely say you don't necessarily need a showreel as such for a child and young performer, but you do need an element of motion footage. So I would say that if you do any professional work or you have taken part in a film, show it to your agent. If they think that it's, you know, a great way to sort of show you off in that sense, then they can download that and put that on your profile as well. But there's no need to go spending lots of money on showreels. The adult division, however, is you have to have a showreel.
Yeah, completely.
But yeah, for the children, young performers, it's not something that we say you must have, you know, just because it goes out of date so quickly. Yeah. A lot of the time, it's all project driven anyway. So a casting director might say, right, we need them to self-tape, which is motion footage, and it's free.
Yeah.
And it can be done overnight or over the weekend. So and it's relevant to that project because they've been given sides for that character. So that's becoming ever more popular.
And in terms of self-taping, for example, is it something that's happening quite a lot now? Are children getting asked to self-tape for their auditions?
Yes, every day. Really, really popular. It's actually coming on par with our auditions, our physical auditions. I think, obviously, we are a UK-wide agency, and there are many actors and young performers that don't live close to Manchester or live close to London, however, are all right for the role. So what we tend to do is we'll submit them, and if they can't quite get to a casting, the casting directors are actually being very flexible, saying, well, perhaps they can self-tape. And then that's almost like their first stage of the audition, because once the self-tape is being downloaded and watched, they then will call them in and say, actually, let's get them in for a recall. Last week we had somebody offered a job from a self-tape, so it is becoming ever more popular, and it's something that we are trying to get our parents more involved in, just practicing at home, because, you know, it's really, really beneficial for the children, and it really does help when you've got a nice quality tape for the casting director to actually sit down and visualise what's going on.
So ideally not an iPhone.
Do you know what? An iPhone's actually fine.
Is it?
Any sort of recording device is fine. But I would say, you know, you need a clear background, you need decent lighting and decent sound. The recording device, it can be done either on a home recording device or an iPhone. I would stay away from webcam or anything like that. As long as the phone or the camera is static, and it's not sort of, you know, too much fidgeting around, it's still, then that's absolutely fine. With regards to the sound, just make sure there's high quality sound, nothing too echoey. Don't do it outside where there's wind and buses driving past. It's too distracting. So just something really plain, really simple. I would suggest whoever is recording the self-tape with the child or young performer that they stay off camera, so it's only that actor in sight. But the actor is to sort of act with the person reading off camera, but and don't look directly into the camera again unless specified.
Lovely. And there is actually a how to self-tape guide on Spotlight's YouTube, which is at Spotlight UK. So everything you need to know about getting yourself taped right within 10 minutes. So we've got a lovely instructional video there for you if you need some more information on that. So licensing is something we haven't touched upon before, actually. Can a child sometimes miss out on a job if their license isn't issued quick enough? This is for under 16s only, by the way. what are the rules around licensing? What needs to be done for anyone who has no idea?
Yeah, sure. I mean, in the past, yes, unfortunately, children have missed out on opportunities because of time restrictions. So the law states that every child and young performer, if they are under 16, will require a performance licence from their local borough to take part in any performance. So we, as the agent, oversee all of that. However, 21 days is very, very difficult to work to. In my time, I haven't had a production company have the luxury of giving 21 days notice with everything confirmed. Everything in the industry is so fast paced, and a lot of it's last minute. You know, sometimes you don't even get the call times until the day before. So it is very, very difficult. And because we are a UK-wide agency, we have to deal with hundreds of different councils, and they all work to different timelines. So, you know, there's one council that can turn around a licence in 10 working days, others can turn around in 7, some 5. And, you know, on occasions, if it's a quiet period for one particular borough, they can do it in a couple of hours. So, obviously, the licence is there to protect the child. It's the welfare of the child to ensure that they are fully looked after. They have to do lots of different relevant checks, from chaperones to the production company, to see where they're filming, where they're going to stay, how many hours they're working. You know, there's lots of different things that go into it. So I understand that it does take time. However, you know, sometimes, you know, we are contacted to say, please only suggest people who can be licensed in time, you know, and that's very tricky for us because it's like, well, how long is a piece of string? Which borough does this child reside in? Which is a very sad state of affairs, really, because it should be very equal. But it depends on the borough, because sometimes they don't have enough staff. They don't work full time hours. So we are applying for applications, and we might not get anything back, you know, 3 or 4 days later, saying we don't have enough time to process this, you know, which leaves us all in hot water, really. So we have to be very, very careful with submissions regarding child and young performers.
And is it a new licence each time they're cast something new?
Yes. So we have to apply for a licence for every single child, for every single job. So there's a lot of paperwork involved. A lot of councils are trying to streamline their workload by applying online. So we are trying to upload various different child protection policies and everything like that online. So it's just a little bit slicker and a little bit smoother. But as a part of the application, you know, we have to gather various documents in a short space of time as well. So that's permission from school. We need to get birth certificates. And, you know, if they're overseas, we do need a GP letter as well. So that takes time, you know, so, and also schools are under time frames, you know, and they have to be careful at how often they let a child out of school, because they've got their own restrictions and guidelines that they need to abide by. So yes, it can be get sort of very complicated sometimes, but we're getting there, you know. I think that production have acknowledged that they need to kind of provide information a lot quicker. Agents are working tirelessly to get the documents even before they've been confirmed for the job, so that it takes the stress off the council when they actually get that application in. But yes, it's a tricky one.
And is that at a cost to the parent, or is it a cost to the agency?
It's not a cost, no. I do know various agencies that may charge like an administration fee to apply for licences. Not to the parent, but to the maybe production team if they're put under sort of a lot of pressure and it takes time. But Quirky Kids, we don't charge licence fees. We just do it and sort of get on with it really as quickly as possible.
And for any parents who may not know, who are listening to this and sort of thinking they'd like to, their child interested in drama, they want to get involved in being an actor, I know there are some laws and regulations about hours that children can work and how often they have to have breaks. So is that something that you talk to them about when they join the agency?
Yeah, absolutely. We are all given sort of industry guidelines that are presented to us at various sort of conventions, whether that's at the BBC, whether that's from the NNCEE sort of online as well, on the DirectGov website. There's lots of different regulations in play. We do have a standard document which we advise parents, because quite often, because they are children, we are allowed for the parents to chaperone. It either has to be a parent or a licensed chaperone. And when they're young children, we try to get parents on set. It's an experience for everybody, and they get to know what their child is actually, you know, has to do.
Yeah.
So we do give them their time. So again, depending on age. Obviously, the older you are, the longer you can work. Mm-hmm. So if you're 8, you're not allowed to work as many hours as you are as a 9-year-old. So there's lots of different, and you know, there's lots of different breaks that you have to have,
yeah.
And stuff like that. But to be honest, that's never the problem, because there's so many schedules in place to ensure that the children are completely looked after, so they do have their relevant breaks. They get fed like kings and queens on set. That's not so much a concern, but we definitely advise all parents prior to accepting a job.
Yeah, they should know about that.
Yeah.
And read up on it. Lovely. And can, on a different note, can you tell us a bit about your relationship with casting directors? So what parents should know in terms of how an agent talks to a casting director?
Yeah, of course. So again, there's lots of different sort of scenarios that agents are putting with casting directors. So we, over the years, we've built friendships with casting directors. So you've got that trust there mm-hmm. straight away. Those that maybe haven't worked with us before might ask a few more questions. You know, there's some casting directors who we make submissions for, and they call us up and they say, let's talk a little bit more about Amelia. And you say, okay, what'd you like to know? So, and it's great for us because it's a nice way to show how much we do know our clients and how much they are right for it. So it's a really good like selling point to try and pitch our clients directly to the casting director. There are other times where a child has gone in for a casting and we haven't heard anything, and we might call and say, is there any news on this? Do you have any feedback? Mm-hmm. But to be honest, we wait for them to contact us because we, you know, we're aware of how busy they are, and they're more often working on more than one project and lots of different roles in those projects. Mm-hmm. So they're a bit like us when we contact parents when we have to, you know, in terms of getting them like logistically to certain places. I think it's the same for casting directors with agents. You know, they call us when they are interested in a particular client. However, you know, a lot of our communication is on email, and all appointments tend to be given out over the phone. Mm-hmm. It's quite a nice friendship, actually. It's a bit of a teamwork, mm-hmm. I think, just to try and find the right person for the right role. And when the role gets cast, and you know, you're the agent and the casting director was rooting for them as well, it's like a yay, like sort of celebration of we found someone for it. There's so many different sort of scenarios that casting directors and agents have to deal with. It's a nice friendship to have, professional friendship.
And if a young performer is taking this quite seriously as they're growing up and they're thinking this is something I would like as a viable career, can they talk to you personally about it?
Yeah, absolutely. They can. They're more than welcome to speak to me. As I say, we're always in the office. Mm-hmm. So depending on the age of the young performer, so whether they are going into the adult sector mm-hmm. Or whether they are still teenagers, they're more than welcome to call me. I was actually at Spotlight with for a Q&A for children and young performers a few months ago, and one of the adult actors contacted me directly from there, and we've ended up signing her to our queue management, and she's had many auditions and she's had a job offer since. So you know, it's about finding the right relationship with your agent. You know, everybody works differently. There are some agencies out there where you might not directly get to speak to the agent and have a good old chat, but then you have others that love having a good old chat. Mm-hmm. You know, it completely depends on who you feel most comfortable with, because at the end of the day, all agents work extremely hard. It's their job to obtain as much work as possible for their clients. Mm-hmm. So they're obviously going to do the best they possibly can. So it's just fine. It's just having that trust, really, I think. Being able to feel that you have your questions answered.
Brilliant. Thank you so much for coming in today, Christy.
You're very welcome.
And if anyone wants to follow you on social media, where should they go?
Absolutely. Well, you can go to Quirky Kids, or you can go to Q Management, or do both.
On Twitter.
Mm-hmm. And then it's my name, Christy Sokolo, on personal Twitter, yeah.
Fantastic.
Thank
you for listening to the Spotlight podcast, and you can follow us on Twitter at Spotlight UK, on YouTube at Spotlight UK, and also on Facebook at Spotlight UK.